Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible in part by the University of Maryland Division of Transplantation, where patients' lives are enhanced by a renowned transplant program known for innovation and excellence in kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants. For more information, the number is 1-800-492-5538. Ben Jealous, who is, of course, the NAACP National President, was just here on Morgan State University's campus to talk about marriage equality, the DREAM Act, and other issues important to this presidential campaign, and joins us here at the top of the hour. Ben Jealous, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Mark. It's always a show.
So tell me about this rally you just held on campus, why you were here.
Students have been doing a great job of getting folks signed up to vote and talking to students about the issues. We have two big issues on the ballot here. The first is the DREAM Act. The second is question six, issue of marriage equality. And so I was here to really show our support for the students and for both of these issues.
So yesterday we had a fascinating conversation here between a number of ministers, black ministers. The international renowned Brad Braxton was here, and others, Jamal Bryant, talking about the Marriage Equality Act from their perspectives. I mean, this is something that really in the state of Maryland has the community really divided. And I don't just mean the black community; I mean the community period in the state of Maryland divided. And also going to be of major national importance. This could be the first state in Maryland, in America, to actually pass this.
You know, first of all, those are both, you know, good pastors, both the ones that you talked about, Pastor Bryant, Pastor Braxton. I'm sure the others are just as wonderful and thoughtful. There are passionate feelings on both sides. But this is fundamentally about the division of church and state in our society. It's been a long time since Maryland let one faith or one interpretation of one faith dominate its politics. And it's with good reason that our founding fathers embraced this notion of a division between church and state, because the reality is that in our state we have people of many faiths and many traditions, some which are more inclusive and on this issue, some which are more traditional, if you will. And what this law is about, if people read it, I think most folks will be heartened by it. It basically says two things. One, no longer will a judge or a clerk or a hospital administrator be able to discriminate against somebody because of what they are, because of who they love.
So, I'm sorry,
you
Ben.
Know, the second part of it is also very clear, that every church, every synagogue, every mosque, every temple will be able to continue defining marriage, defining religious marriage, however they so choose. Marrying whoever they want, not marrying whoever they want. And so this is really an issue for us to decide as a democracy. It will protect the freedoms of every house of worship in the state. Also, end the shameful pattern of discrimination in the state that has kept too many people out of the hospital room of their partner, not able to help determine the fate of that person's life, even though they have lived together as partners for decades, being locked out because the state, some judge, some clerk says, no, we're not going to give you a license to get we're not going to let you get officially married in the state.
One of the things that one of the ministers said yesterday in this program, Heber Brown from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church here in Baltimore, said that this is a very nuanced discussion we had. It was not clearly divided black and white, for and against. There was some nuance. Clearly, Reverend Jamal Bryan was opposed, and Reverend Cleary and Brad Braxton were for. But even Reverend Cleary said that he thinks it is a sin, but he still thinks as a state we should allow it. But then Reverend Brown was talking about that he doesn't think there's a quid pro quo. He doesn't think that what happens here is we're fighting for the rights of gays and lesbians to marry, but what about all the issues facing the black community that no one is fighting for? We're going to, you know, that are being left out of this discussion, whether it's building the jails, the way we're jailing people in this country, or the poverty and the rest. And so there's a little consternation, I think, with people who think that issues in the black community are being left out of this discussion.
Look, you know, each ballot issue is handled separately. And the reality is, I'll invite Pastor Brown to come down to the headquarters of the NAACP, where we are working on a wide range of issues. I've probably been more vocal than most in this country on the need for us to move beyond mass incarceration. We've also been very effective at building dynamic coalitions with a wide range of groups. For instance, right before our march against racial profiling in New York City, which I organized along with Reverend Sharpton, in March, about 70,000 people to Mayor Bloomberg's house for Father's Day. We were thinking we would get 25. We ended up with 70,000.
Hmm.
We held a press conference at the Stonewall Inn, which is really the place where the modern-day gay rights movement started, with 35 groups from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community all standing up in this place, this site of historically very violent, vicious police attacks against their community, standing up, surrounding Reverend Sharpton and I, and saying that they were going to march with us. And they did, by the thousands, show up. And so, you know, in this moment where so many people's rights are being attacked across the country, some people would seek to withdraw. What we say is, no, we need to step forward. We need to link arms. We need to insist that we all stand up together on behalf of each other. And that, you know, as the Three Musketeers used to say, all for one and one for all. But then the other thing that we have to recognize is that when you have one identity based on race and another based on sexual orientation, there's no line between those two communities. There are people who are black and lesbian, black and gay, black and bisexual, black and transgender. In fact, they exist in virtually every church, on virtually every block, in every family. And so, you know, we also shouldn't fool ourselves that we aren't standing up for people in our community when we stand up for questions.
One other thing, Ben, before you have to run, what do you make of the deep divide in the United States of America right now in this election? I mean, there are many people. Every poll says something different about whether President Obama or Governor Romney is ahead. But this election is very close. And I'm just curious what you think will happen what could happen. I mean, if people do not come out to vote, if Latinos do not come out in large numbers, if African American community doesn't come out in large numbers. This election could go either way. There's possibilities that either one of these men could actually win the popular vote, lose electoral vote, and vice versa. I mean, just your analysis of why you think we are where we are.
Look, in the bigger sense, I mean, this is a tight election because it's a tight election, but it's happening in a very toxic cauldron of divisive politics, because ultimately our government has empowered extremists to create that environment repeatedly over the past several decades. And you can go back, to the Republican Party's decision to embrace the old Dixiecrats and give white supremacist extremists, 40, 50 years ago, a home in the Republican Party as the shifting politics of the Democratic Party were forcing them out of that party. And then those extremists in turn deciding to run moderates and liberals and pro-civil rights people out of the Republican Party. And so we're now at but you can also look at the impact that had in places that we don't even think about often, like the FCC, where those folks said, we're going to get rid of the requirement that radio stations give the same time to one view as they give to the other view. And that made it possible for these channels that are entirely dedicated to people like Rush Limbaugh just spewing hatred and division all day. And so, you know, we as a society ultimately have to, you know, make a decision that the majority of us who believe in civility, the majority of us who believe in inclusiveness, the majority of us who believe that issues should be about ideas and not about stereotypes and hatred and division, we actually have to stand up and assert ourselves. Because the reality is that, you know, that's not all the Republicans. And, you know, and the reality is in some places it is some of the Democrats. But you can draw a circle inside of, you know, that joins together people in both of the major parties and many third parties who simply want to get back to a country where we can come together across party lines, across race lines, and support big ideas that are right for our country.
Ben Jealous, I always appreciate the time you give us. Ben Jealous is president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, who is just here for a rally at Morgan State University. And Ben, thanks so much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.